May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I had a dear friend, one of my closest friends, was a man named Frank Costantino. Frank was a bishop. He lived in Orlando. And Frank had been a former gangster. He was one of the more famous criminals in America. Got arrested on Easter morning, stealing $5 million worth of furs across the street from the police precinct department, and forgot there was one alarm system he didn't count on. And he was sentenced to Belgrade prison for 22 years. He was only there for 7 years. He had an extremely life-changing encounter with Christ, and God used him powerfully. He had the largest prison ministry in the world, most of his adult life. And God used Frank to get some of his former friends who were also had been mafia members or wise guys, gangsters who worked with the mafia, got them out of prison as he had led many of them to Christ, and after many, many years, they were able to get out. One of them was a man who was, he was a hitman for the Gambino family, but he lived in South Florida. Gambino was the largest family, mafia family in New York, and he lived in Miami area, and whoever, I forget the mafia family down there, but they had put out a contract on him because he had done something to cross their territory. It made him mad. His name was Tony the Animal, the only thing I knew about. He was like about 6'7". God, Frank said he was the scariest person he ever met. For Frank to say that, he must have been scary. And so he walked into a public restaurant in Miami and shot the second guy in charge of the mafia down there and a friend of his in the head because it made him mad. They put a contract out on him. So he went to prison, life prison, and after about 30 years, Frank got him out of prison. And he was so grateful to Frank that every year he would call, at least talk to Bunny, Frank's wife, to make sure Frank was doing okay. Because in his mind, that if something ever happened to Frank, he was going to go back to prison. No matter how much Frank tried to explain to him, it was actually, he was out. It had nothing to do with him, because Frank's the one who got him out. He was convinced that if Frank ever died, his whole safety and freedom was dependent on Frank. And so he was scared to death something might happen to Frank and he'd go back. Now, I don't know, Tony's even still alive. Frank went to be with Jesus about 10 years ago, so I'm sure after that, Tony lived. He may have gone into hiding, but somehow things weren't going to work out. Unfortunately, most Christians live that way, too, in fear that not confident and certain of certain things. And there's a scripture that I've quoted a lot over the years, and one of it's from really part of my life, verses from 2 Corinthians 12:9, where the Lord just speaks in response to Paul, and he just says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's like a powerful phrase. And the language there is continual. My grace is continually sufficient for you. And so it's like if you were a person that if you were a person who got thirsty, and then you ask somebody, go run and turn the water on and see if the water works because I'm dying of thirst. Because you're not sure if the water's going to work or not. It's kind of like Tony the Animal and Frank, was Frank still going to be alive? But if the person were to say to you, look, the faucet's on, it's on, it can't be turned off, this faucet's always running. So you need to understand, before you ever get thirsty, the faucet, the quenching of your thirst, the provision's already there. So you need to quit asking to get, is the water working? Go turn on the water. You need to stop begging us to go make sure there's water. The water's running. That's the way the Christian life is. Whatever God requires of you, he's already provided for you. That's one of the most important principles of Christian life. Whatever God requires of you, whatever situation that he's placed you in, or it looks like he might put you in, he's already provided for you. The faucet's on. It can't be turned off. His grace is always being sufficient. Now, you and I can choose to trust that, believe that, or choose not to believe that, and again, live in begging faith and pleading faith, or we can walk in resting faith, knowing that whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever temptation, whatever opportunity, whatever relational thing that I may find myself in, I don't have to live in anxiety, in fear that Frank might die. that I won't be taken care of. In fear that somehow, is God going to do it? Is he going to take care of me? Can I handle this? Is it going to be okay? You need to understand the grace of God is already running. Again, that scripture that we quoted so many times over the last few years, kind of the gospel within the gospel, 2 Corinthians 9:8. For the God of limitless ability has already abounded all grace to you, that you already always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to anything that God calls you to. That's a powerful scripture. I was probably, the next time I share noon, I'll talk, I did a devotional yesterday from Psalm 37. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. But I don't know about you, it's tempting for me to wait anxiously for the Lord. That I see something that might happen or could happen or something I may be walking into, or I don't know what's going on or things aren't happening fast enough or whatever, and I'm waiting on God, but instead of waiting patiently, I'm waiting anxiously. But if I when I remember that what God's required of me, whatever it is he's required of me, he's already provided for me. He's already provided for me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to be anxious about it. I don't have to plead with him, beg him. I don't have to try to even figure it out. That's where we get in trouble too, isn't it? You know, I've said over the years, that's that place in Scripture that says, commit your way to the Lord and he'll bring it to pass. The word it there is in italics, which means it's not in the original Hebrew. The real translation is, commit your way to the Lord and he will bring to pass. How he does it is not your business. And what I heard many years ago is that it's the itites that get us in trouble more than anything else. How's it going to work out? How's God going to do it? How am I going to handle it? The grace is already sufficient. You don't have to know. God doesn't owe you all the details. He just wants you to walk live by faith. That whatever it is you find yourself in, or whatever it is you think you might find yourself in, know that the faucet's already running and there's nothing to fear. And all the anxiety in the world can't add one single cubit to your life. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One of the things that Eucharist does, and there's so many things about Eucharist. Well, it was the centerpiece of Christian worship for 2,000 years. Way before there was a Roman Catholic Church, it's always been the centerpiece of a worship experience. You know, I'm a charismatic, and I love going to all kinds of stuff. You know, I draw from anointings. Thank God for that. But if the apostles didn't have prior knowledge and they went to most of our Protestant services, charismatic services, they wouldn't even be sure it was a real Christian worship service until Jesus started being talked about. And then they'd be confused because there was no Eucharist. Because in Eucharist, the redemptive sacrifice is not repeated. Jesus died for all sins for all time once. But it's an eternal work. He was slain before the foundation of the world. And the Eucharist is made present. That eternal work is made present at every Eucharist. And so all the power of the finished work of Christ is made present to us. We're reminded every time we take Eucharist that everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has, all the grace is there for me. It's free, and all I got to do is come up and receive it. We don't require that you do anything, meet any requirements before you come down, do any kind of spiritual calisthenics. If you go back and you read in 2 Corinthians, it's not unworthy receivers, it's how you receive, if you receive in an unworthy manner. We're all unworthy. But the way you receive in an unworthy manner is not by faith. And Eucharist is one of the things Eucharist reminds us of, all that he is, all that he has, is always yours. And it's just ours for free. It's just one of those ways God reminds us that his grace is always being sufficient. Amen?